Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. This hour, it's sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. Or we'll get back to the phone calls here with everything on offense, defense. Is this now a defensive football team? I mean, I think it is. The more you look at it, the more the way they've played on the defensive side of the football, they are a top five unit. They've been great. This is a defensive-led team. Some people see it. Some people have their head buried deep in the sand. That would be Hugh Douglas, former defensive player. We're taking away sacks 1 hour at a time from Hugh's career ledger. And, of course, the ultimate tailgate giveaway as well. Famous couples we're looking for. But right now, let's go out to the guest line, a guy that we haven't spoken to in a while. I haven't seen him in a while. But there's obviously a lot to talk about with Marcus Hayes of the Philadelphia Inquirer and WRP. Marcus, first time on the air in a little bit here. Marcus, welcome to the Midday Show. How are you doing today, Marcus?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. We're doing great. Marcus, we're just trying to figure out how you're doing with all the stuff that's been going on the last couple of days.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what, Marcus? Let's just jump right into it, because to be honest, when I read the story, I didn't think that what you said was that egregious, but I can understand why some people were upset. Why did you feel that had to be a part of the story that you was writing?
I really didn't. I just wrote it, and then, like yourself, when I wrote it and read it, you know, and then submitted it, it didn't seem egregious. Then maybe 2 hours later, as I always do, I go back and, you know, I don't know if it's going to post right away. I don't really – our editorial process is kind of fluid, so I wrote that early in the day, and it posted early in the day, and it happened to be up, but sometimes it won't post until 5 the next morning. But as I always do, I go back through, and the way we edit, if I make a mistake, they'll highlight the mistake and leave it in there so I know I made it. So I went back to read, and I also read it for content. I read it front to, you know, the beginning to the end, and I read the comments on the internet. Mm-hmm. So some of the comments were like, hey, that's, you know, what you wrote about his kid and his brother doesn't seem quite right. Mm-hmm. So I read it through those eyes, and I was like, you know what? I can understand that. Like yourself, I understand why people would look askance at that. Mm-hmm. And I took it out, and it read better. It was better written without it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it addressed those issues. And not only did I take it out, when I reposted it, I alerted people, because I think it's kind of – I don't think it's really responsible to change your story without addressing that you changed your story. Mm-hmm. So I said, I changed my story. And, you know, if anybody out there was offended, I'm sorry about that.
So okay, let's fast forward a little bit, because I know at this point you kind of felt that people have seen the story. And I'm pretty sure at some point Joel knows about the story. So take me into the process about going into the locker room and how, to be honest, Marcus, and I said this, if the Sixers need help, they need to go ahead and hire me. How do they mishandle that situation? Or how does that happen where you and Joel don't get a chance to talk before you actually see each other?
Well, the Sixers said, you know, the Sixers contacted me. You know, what happened with Joel happened 10 days later. Mm-hmm. 9 days later, after I'd written another story about the season ticket holders deserving some money back, 2 days after that, that's when he mentioned me by name in a press conference, a pop-up press conference. He wasn't supposed to talk until he was back. Mm-hmm. So he held a press conference and mentioned me, but only mentioned that, you know, his commitment and his desire and dedication shouldn't be questioned because of all the things he's done for this, you know, city. Mm-hmm. So that was that. And when he had that press conference, he also mentioned that the Olympic team could have won without him. My contention has been since February that he shouldn't play in the Olympics, my belief is that the Olympics might have hindered his comeback. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a third column. After that column, the Sixers contacted me and said, hey, you know what? We'd love to get you guys together, and some people down here aren't really happy about the first version of your story 9 days ago. At that point, I said, okay, well, I'll be there tomorrow. You know, there's a game the next day. So the Sixers, to their credit, offered to get us together. I told them I was willing, and I made myself available that Saturday night, that game, for that, and they knew I was coming. So I don't think that they mishandled it, and the interaction in the locker room was fine. you know, it was heated, you know, but you've seen heated interactions between reporters before until it wasn't.
Marcus, had you ever been in a situation like that? I mean, you're covering teams and writing columns for a long time. It's not the first time I think you've probably written something that maybe a player disagreed with. Had you ever been in a situation quite like what happened a few weeks ago?
What's interesting, certainly, but what's interesting is usually it's something you've said. Like, I said something about Brian Mitchell having lost half a step years and years ago. It was right before Hugh got there. And he took offense to that. And we had a, you know, a locker room altercation. And then years later, Allen Iverson was misinformed about something I said about him during his MVP season. And we had a confrontation in the hallway, actually, outside the I think it was after Game 7 against Milwaukee in that series. And, you know, Brian's information was accurate. Allen's wasn't. Now, there have been a couple of other sort of minor, hey, I heard kind of things. But, you know, nothing – this was probably – now, Brian Mitchell was probably more virulent, you know, back in 96 or 97 or whatever it was, than Joel was until, you know, the ultimate, you know, I guess, misstep.
So, Marcus Hayes with us here, Philadelphia Inquirer and WIP. Joel Embiid back tonight. Marcus, where do things stand now? Obviously, Joel had to serve a 3-game suspension. He will return tonight, which will coincide with his first game of the season for the Sixers. As far as you know, the way things left off that night, then the investigation, are we back to what you assume and what we should assume is normal? You'll cover the team, you'll write columns, you'll be down there, and business as usual? Or how does that work now?
No, I mean, I haven't altered my, you know, I guess my routine at all. I won't be there tonight. My kids are in a state semifinal soccer game. And this isn't a game I would normally cover anyway. It's not my day to write. Mike Sielski, David Murphy, and I take turns writing. So I don't write again until tomorrow. So, you know, I wouldn't be there. I can't be there because of personal reasons, but I probably wouldn't be there in the normal course of events. That said, you know, I don't, you know, there are no restrictions on me.
Marcus, what do you expect tonight? I know you won't be there, but we'll be watching. I'm sure you'll have an eye on it maybe later in the night when you catch up. What do you expect in terms of the reception for Joel Embiid? Because I'm sure maybe you feel this. I certainly feel it. It's felt like the conversation in the last 2 weeks has moved from just Joel to the fans and Joel's responsibility to the Sixers and the city to then obviously what happened with you two. But now he returns tonight in front of the fans after an offseason where we thought he'd be okay. He obviously wasn't okay, and there's a lot of ambiguity on why he wasn't okay to start the season. What kind of reception do you expect for Joel Embiid tonight from the fans?
Well, I mean, Joel Embiid has come back from injury several times and, or, you know, with similar circumstances. Is he in good enough shape? Was he in good enough shape? I think Joel Embiid will be roundly applauded. I mean, he's, you know, arguably the number one athlete in town. He's one of the three or four best Sixers to have ever played, and this is his debut. No, nobody's going to the Sixers. You know, 23,000 people or 20,000 people don't go down there to boo the best player when he comes back. You know what I'm saying? There's not going to be some sort of, like, lingering animosity. People want the team to do well. They want them to win. They're, what, 50% better when he plays? It's, you know, these are people who are supportive of Joel Embiid, and they're hopeful that, you know, he becomes the greatest player in Sixers history. I think it'll be a fine reception tonight.
Marcus, while we have you, let's pivot to the Eagles quickly because we got a big one on Thursday, and this season has really turned the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, ask Marcus about defense.
Marcus about the defense. Marcus, it's my contention. This is now a defensive football team. Where do you come down? Is the offense still the driving force, or is this a defensive team?
I'll tell you this, it's not a special teams team. I mean, the special teams have a real – when Hugh was playing, the special teams and Danny Smith were under fire all the time. But, no, it's a much better offensive team than it is a defensive team. I mean, they just have better players. Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown are probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. So is Lane Johnson. There are none of the defensive players are going to be in the Hall of Fame. They're just better players. And they're scoring points. I mean, they're a really, really good offensive team. That doesn't mean they're a bad defensive team. And it doesn't have to be binary, right? Like, the greatest show on turf was an offensive team whose defense could pass rush all the time. The Eagles are a very good team. I think in a year or two, especially if they retain Zach Bond, N'Kobe Dean, and extend Jalen Carter, they're going to be a dominant defensive team, absolutely dominant. But for right now, they're still a team who, if you ask the opponents, they're not worried as much about Jalen Carter and Zach Bond as they are about A.J., Devontae, Saquon, and Jalen Hurts.
Well, that's where the star power is, for sure, and the money on this team. And I think we all came into the season thinking offense, 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 but it certainly has been good on both sides. Marcus, we appreciate you hopping on, giving us a few minutes here.
And don't be getting in no more trouble, man. Sit your butt down. Sit your butt down somewhere.
Okay. Coming from you, Hugh, that is sage advice.
Yeah, and this is why you can't be the Sixers PR person, Hugh. You can't do it. Marcus, thanks for hopping on. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me.
There he goes, Marcus Hayes, with his first time hearing from Marcus since everything that went down as Joel Embiid returns today. I tend to agree with him. I know the morning show was discussing what kind of reception Joel will get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the people that, like, and Marcus said it well, the people that pay money to go down to the Sixers are diehard Sixers fans, and they probably love Joel Embiid, maybe frustrated sometimes with Joel, but primarily, like, they're the people that have his jerseys. They're going to cheer him. And
so
I
we
think,
don't the ones that... Been thinking. I didn't know.
What?
To be honest,
do you think he's getting booed tonight? I don't think he's getting booed.
To be honest, I thought it was a good question because I was thinking with, and part of the reason why I felt that way is because we do radio every day, and the people that we talk to on a day to day basis, most of them weren't really happy with Joel Embiid and the way that this whole thing was handled.
So I kind of thought
it would be that case.
I agree most people were not happy with the way the last 3 or 4 weeks go, but I think there's like a split of the pie. People are mad at the Sixers, or people mm-hmm. mad at Embiid, people mad at Marcus Hayes. All I know is they're 2-7 without him, so I think it's going to be, he'll be welcomed back with some cheers tonight. Even, like, I'm more frustrated with Joel than anyone in this situation, but... Like, if I'm at the game tonight, I wouldn't stand up.
You're not going to go out your way and be like, boo.
Well, because they're so much better with them that he's their only chance to be any good anyway.
This is true. This is true.
I didn't even, like, when I heard it brought up, I was like, what? What? Like, boos? I didn't even consider the possibility that
I'm not going to lie.
He will get booed.
I did. I didn't know.
It didn't make any sense to me.
Well, to be fair, so the morning show did a poll. If you were going to the game tonight, how would you greet Joel Embiid? Mm-hmm. And more than 10% did vote boos.
Well...
I'm like, it wasn't
1% of people on Twitter.
No, I get it. I get it. It's
well,
not,
if you polled 100% of WIP callers, I think a large portion might say boo.
Yes, but, and that's why I love WIP callers.
Yeah, me too.
Different.
But, I mean, considering who's buying the tickets to go to Joel Embiid's debut versus the Knicks, he's not going to get booed.
The NBA Cup tonight starts. You guys excited?
Oh, I am just...
Do they get rings for that?
I don't know what they get. Did they paint the court? Do we have a different court?
Yeah, they do. They do paint the court.
Ah, jeez. I think it's one of the silliest things the NBA's done in a long time.
The kids like it.
That's wonderful. I mean, I'm supposed to get excited for a Tuesday night game in November because they paint the court a different color.
NBA Cup.
215-592-9494. Our Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. All right, we asked today, and we're discussing this, which better describes the Eagles this season? See, the people on Twitter know what they're talking about. 71% said defensive team. Only 29%, Hugh Douglas, think this is an offensive team. You are living under a rock.
I'm living in a fool's paradise.
You are.
But you know what, though? Sometimes when these polls don't go my way, you can't take what these folks
do. What are you talking about? So when the poll
gospel.
Goes your way, it
yeah,
matters.
Yeah, then I'm all in.
I get it.
When
yeah.
it doesn't go my way,
yeah.
then I'm like,
well,
you,
I think
people are lunatics.
People see it for what it is. I mean, they realize
no, they see it,
that defense is carrying
and it
this
does,
thing.
It doesn't help that we live in a defensive town and people are having shades of Seth Joyner and Clyde Simmons and all them cats. They used to be out there. This ain't it.
Well, I would say this
ain't it.
I would say this is probably the biggest example of a good Eagles team.
No, it's a good Eagles team.
Where the defense is better than the offense, I would say, since maybe Donovan was struggling in, you know, like, you know, 03, 02, by the time you were here.
Defense is playing well. This defense is playing well. It really, really is.
And they're carrying this thing because they are
They're definitely not carrying this thing. They've had some moments.
Moments?
They've had moments. Yes, they had moments. They had in Green Bay, they had a moment. Kobe Dean had one of the absolute biggest moments. So much so, I gave a shout out to the young Thundercat, man. So, yeah, I'm not, you know, people, you know what the bad part about this debate is or this conversation?
That I'm the defensive player on this show?
Well, no, people hear what I'm saying and they automatically assume that I'm dissing the defense.
Well, you kind of are.
Well, they think you're insane.
No, I'm just bringing facts to the table.
And I am,
and
too.
And the facts are that when you look at statistically, you haven't been challenged yet. If you consider yourself one of the better defenses, if you want to be considered a good defense, you want to be challenged. They haven't been challenged yet. I would venture to say most of those guys over there, they consider themselves pretty good. But if they're being honest with themselves, they don't know how good they are because they haven't been challenged. Dallas Cowboys last week, they laid down. That defense played well for a quarter, and then they laid down.
So I think you bring up a very fair point. We'll get back to the phone lines in a second here. 215-592-9494. For the defense really hasn't been challenged that much yet, right? And that's to come. Daniels is to come. Stafford's to come. Lamar. Can I make the same point for the offense? That they've rung up the offense they have, and they've played the 32nd ranked defense, the 31st ranked defense. They have played the 29th ranked defense, the 27th ranked defense.
Well, I would say.
I mean, maybe this offense isn't great either. Like, here are the top 10 defenses. The Eagles haven't seen, unless I'm missing something, any of them. Tennessee, in terms of yards, right? Mm-hmm. The Eagles are second, so they can't see themselves. Houston, Kansas City, Denver, Chargers, Jets, Steelers, Niners.
Yeah.
I can make the same case. Neither have been really challenged
but
yet.
But what I could say on that end is that if I'm being really, if y'all going to say I sound like a hater, but I'm not. Uh-oh. I promise you I'm
here
not hating.
Here comes the full hater Douglas.
But I'm just hater keeping Hugh. It a bean. Uh-huh. I can make an argument that this offense has underachieved for the weapons and the personnel that they have. I can make that argument. I can make that argument. They're playing well.
But this might be who they are, the 10th best offense in the league.
No, they need, like, the standard is the standard.
But you know
it's
what?
It's higher
so
than that.
So, actually, but here's why this is a necessity. If they are the 10th best offense and they have this good of a defense, they could win the Super Bowl.
This defense is still a work in progress. They're playing good. And they have the potential to play better. This is going to be a huge test for them.
It will. All right, 215-592-9494. We're also looking for famous couples for the ultimate tailgate giveaway. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
You, Joe, and my dog, Kyle. What's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Man, you know you're my dog, right? You're my dog, Hugh.
But
I'm going to go defense. We're a defensive team. And here's why. We got these, as you like to say, young Thundercats. They're balling out of this world, out of their minds. And every game this season, they have kept us in the game. And you can go to say that the defense has set the tone in every game this year, because we know a lot of games our offense have started slow and our defense has held us down. We're 7-2 right now, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Yep.
We could easily be 5-4. Here go some key points. Packers, 5-point game. The Saints, a three-point game.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns, a 4-point game we won by. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, we won by 5. And we all know if Dean didn't get that interception, we could have lost that game.
The defense won 4 games. 4 games, Hugh.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
We all say we got to play who's on the schedule, right? Well, these are all professional teams. We can't knock any of these teams that we play. But our defense has been holding us down. They've been setting the tone game after game. And we all know guys like Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. These guys are household names
balling.
Now.
Yeah,
and they made us.
See, a lot of Cooper DeJean's
Our defense, the secondary, are probably the core of our defense right now. And they made themselves household names.
Totally agree.
You know, that's funny. So, the biggest difference, you know, I know.
Got people making songs about
it. Well, it's funny. You know, last year, you know, we're all in love with the Saquon thing, right? Because Saquon's been great so far as an Eagle.
Yeah.
The Eagles are 10th in points per game. Am I right on that? 10th?
Yep.
7th or 10th, somewhere in that range?
Mm-hmm.
They finished 7th last year.
Oh, yeah, you're right. 10th in points per game. Well, no, they're like,
And Joe.
They're 7th in points per game. 7th in points per game scored.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we different stats. 7th in points per game, okay? They were 8th or 7th last year. The difference is the defense was 30th last year, and now the defense...
No, the defense, as far as what the defense was last year and what they're projecting, they're much better.
Offensively, they're ranked the same as they were last year. What the difference is now, Terrence, they're stopping people. It is night and day.
Night and day. And Joe, one more thing. I would trade the defense we had this year from last year, any day of the week. We couldn't tackle nobody. We couldn't cover anybody.
They were terrible.
So that goes to say that our defense is a necessity, because last year we were horrible. If we had the same defense of last year, Saquon Barkley wouldn't even be a factor.
Say it, Terrence. Terrence gets it. 215-592-9494. We'll throw you a lifeline here. Liz in Morristown wants to back you up here.
Throw me a lifeline.
What's up, Liz?
Hey, guys. Hey, Hugh.
Hey, Liz. How you doing?
Good, Liz. What's up?
Good. This is my first time calling, because while I'm always defending Hugh in my mind, I felt like this was the first time I had to call in and really put it out there. It's really a matter of semantics. Luxury, by definition, is a desirable item that's difficult to obtain. It is a state of great comfort. And there was nothing last year about this defense that made me comfortable.
Well, hell, I could go even farther, Liz. It wasn't nothing about this defense that made you comfortable when they were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars.
What are you talking about?
Kobe Dean made that interception.
Hold on, Liz, and I'll give you time to talk. They only allowed 15 points on offense.
Yeah, but you were still sweating bullets until N'Kobe got that interception.
Because of the offense and the head coach that they go ahead, Liz.
But now I'm comfortable. I am excited. I am happy to see this defense. And when they're out on the field, I'm not like, oh, dear God, get them off. Like, I am comfortable and happy to see them. And then when they do their job, I'm ready to see Jalen and Saquon and A.J. and Devontae Cook, because that's the necessity.
See? She broke it down for you, and I agree with that. I agree with that.
Well, of course you agree with it, and you have to. It's someone actually on your side.
I agree with that.
All right, Liz. Liz, give us a great famous couple to get in the mix for the prize.
I'm going with Elvis and Priscilla.
Elvis and Priscilla. All right, Liz, that's a big one.
I just thought about one that's a good one, too. I can't tell. I ain't going to tell nobody.
You can't say it out loud, too. What are you doing?
Yeah, but I just thought about one. This is a good one, too.
You know, I was thinking about something there.
What you got?
Well, you know, end of game scenarios, right? Isn't that a big, big thing in terms of like how you evaluate an offense versus defense? Like the other team has the ball at the end. Are you going to give the points up? Or are you going to score? Like, what do you do in the biggest moment?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking back to some end of game scenarios this year for the Eagles. Correct me if I'm wrong on this.
Mm-hmm.
Game one, did the Eagles not get off the field on defense and stop Jordan Love when the Packers were trying to win the game?
Yeah, I do believe so.
That's when he got hurt, right? So the defense stood up that day. Who had the ball last in the Falcon game? The offense, what'd they do?
they did not do their job.
A pick. Who had the ball last in the Jaguar game? The Jaguars, and the defense stood up. I'm just saying, like, end of game scenarios, the defense has held their own.
They came to play. They came to play, but
didn't they have a pick against the Saints, too? How'd that game end?
I think they did. Didn't they have a pick against the Saints? I recall in that game that Dallas Goedert had a nice little chunky run.
Right, but the defense had to go back out there.
No, they did. They did. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the defense.
There's a clutch gene to this defense.
It's still, I would feel better if they had a little bit more, you know, if they played against some better opponents. And again, let me be clear. I am not penalizing this team because of the opponents that they played, because I'll be the first to tell you, you got to play who's on the schedule. You do. But if they're being honest with themselves, they haven't been tested yet. They're playing well.
Can make the same case about the offense. They can make the same case. And who's ranked higher?
No, this offense should. They're under, in my eyes, they're underachieving. They ought to be ashamed of themselves for all those reasons. They should be.
Ashamed of themselves?
They should be for all those reasons.
I think this is what they are. This is what they are. They're a good offense.
Marcus Hayes said they have a Hall of Famers all on that side of the ball. And that's the best you could do on a weekly basis?
Hold on.
Shame on you.
It's easy to say, point out the amount of talent that they had on the offense, but we all watched this team last year on offense with basically the same talent. And, I mean, they weren't blowing the doors off of anybody.
They were disjointed
last year. Yeah, but so just having talent doesn't make you...
They're playing much better. They should have played last year like the defense is playing this year.
But they didn't have good players. Cohesive, they didn't have
like
good
a
players.
Cohesive unit.
But they didn't have good players last year on defense.
Zach Bond...
He was in New Orleans.
Is about to get paid. They're playing like a unit.
Because they are a necessity
they
to this thing.
They are luxury.
Are you willing to move off this position? 215-592-9494. Hugh's head is so far in the sand, we can't see him anymore.
I thought you was about to say something else.
I was thinking about it. Well, keep your calls going. Combo-Con today. Famous couples. And we have to play a sub that Jaw said this morning that blew me away about the upcoming opponent. That's next. 215-592-9494. Defense or offense? What kind of team are the Eagles? I believe this is now a defensive team. I think most people agree today. I think the people that are saying Hugh's side are just like, feel bad for the guy.
Just feel bad for me. I'm out here by myself.
For this former defensive player. 215-592-9494. For Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Whether you're tailgating at the stadium or hosting at home with friends and family, nothing beats Hatfield Pork for game day eats. From marinated pork tenderloins to bacon, ground pork, and sausage, Hatfield has all the game day winners. Whip up a cheese and chorizo dip or bacon-wrapped tater tots and bring the flavor to your party. This weekend, make sure pork is on your fork. Visit simplyhatfield.com for the best game day recipes and to find a store near you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Find your flavor with Hatfield.
We talked yesterday about the detail, right? We talked yesterday about the physicality. We talked yesterday about the talent that we have. And we said, we want to do special shit. And to do special shit, we got to do it together. There was a moment in this game, right? All right, we came out 14-6 at half. All right, defense gets a stop. Special teams gets a big return. Offense punches in. That's complimentary football, right? Continue to find ways that we grow closer together. Because about that's how you do special shit, right? And we're all into special shit. A good teammate is selfless. A good teammate, all right, knows it takes everybody.
Potty mouth?
A good teammate, right, is there for each other in the good times and the bad, especially the bad, right? A good teammate trusts everybody, right? Because they built that trust up. And a good teammate doesn't blame. They take accountability, right? Keep coming closer together as a team. I feel it. I know y'all feel it. It's a great win, all right? But we're going to have to move on quick.
Starting to feel it, Hugh. 7-2, Sirianni post-game locker room speech.
You was fighting tomato cans, Rock. You were fighting tomato cans.
I don't give a shit.
Y'all making me sound like a hater, man. I'm not hating. I enjoy
you
what I'm
seeing.
You are
a hater here
I'm
today,
not.
Man.
Actually, I think Mick Douglas, my favorite new Hugh. I like the Mick impersonation. That's a good one. It is good.
You're fighting tomato cans.
It's kind of like the defense, the Eagles offense.
No, they play well.
Against,
they play well, man.
Well, this defense is playing great. They play great football. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say the Eagles are a defensive team? I am. Hugh is just, I don't know, I'm holding out hope that the offense. I mean, at the end of the season, if the Eagles are ranked higher in defense than offense, you got some explaining to do, Mr.
If
Douglas.
They are, then I'm probably going to be shaving.
And we're probably going to New Orleans.
Probably going to be a shaved individual.
Yeah, we might be, and we might be heading to New Orleans on that bus, getting ready to go
that'll
be fun, Super Bowl.
Though. I don't know how fun it's going to be riding with a bunch of people.
What are you talking about?
They're going to be callers, and it's going to be fine.
Eastbound and down, rolling up and trucking.
It's going to be fun, and it's going to be hot, so it'll be a little cooler because I don't have no facial hair.
We're going there off the back of this defense,
yeah,
here.
Right. But I mean, I might not have no facial hair, but it's going to be fun. I'm going to make the most of it.
How many turnovers are we going to force in the title game against Jared Goff? A couple picks.
That'd be fun.
Cooper gets one.
In Detroit? You think it's going to be in Detroit?
Probably, yeah. If I had a guess, I would think it's going to be there. Kyle's not kind of ready to say that yet.
Bring him here, baby.
Well,
NFC runs
through Philadelphia. You want them out of that dome.
Jared Goff out of the dome. Jared Goff in the cold in January, that's a different Jared Goff. That's the way to get to January with this defense playing the way it is. All right, 215-592-9494. It's Combo Con here, playing for an incredible grand prize. We're looking for today famous couples. That'll get you in the mix for today's qualifying prize and the grand prize. Let's go back to the phone lines here. In a few minutes, we got to hear what Jaws said this morning about the quarterback and the opponent that's coming in here Thursday down in Washington. T is in North Philly. Hey, T.
T.
What's good with you?
What's up,
man?
T?
How you doing?
Now I just want to get on here and talk some sports. You feel me? I got to side with you on this one.
Oh. Go ahead, T. What are you thinking?
The reason why I got to side with you on this one is specifically because the offense is underachieving does not make this a defensive thing. You know, the reality of it is we put money on that side of the ball for a reason. You know what I'm saying? We need AJ to go out there and get it done. If AJ isn't on the field, the team looks horrendous on offense. You know what I'm saying? It's not as efficient. You know what I'm saying? So that right there should show you that offense is a luxury because you can't plug any Xavier Legettes or Jalen McMillan's, and it's not like we was going to get neighbors, you know what I'm saying? It's very few rookies that can make an impact on the offensive side of the ball. You know what I'm saying? So you need your more proven pieces, making the assets that we have on offense this offensive team. Now, what, you know, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean is doing on defense is amazing. You know, I'm not going to take that away from them. And they're definitely carrying the load right now. But when they get to the playoffs and we're seeing teams like Detroit or
we're going to go blow for blow. We're going blow
right,
for well, blow.
Right, let's also use when we played the Buccaneers, we didn't have an offense. We lost that game. Where was the defense at then? We needed the defense. We needed the defense more than ever in that Buccaneers game. We didn't have no offense. We missed all the offensive pieces. We didn't win. And then the Buccaneers game showed you that this is an offensive game. You can have whatever you want to have on the defense, but if you ain't got the offense to put the defense in a position where the other team got to the ball, I don't really think it's that as effective.
Well, it goes both ways, and you're right. That was the worst day, T, I would say, for the defense all year. That Tampa game, they really
and that was when Cooper DeJean was not there on the field.
Yeah, that was
yet.
You're right. Yeah. That was the last game before Cooper. All right, T, what do you got for us? Give me some famous couple.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde, T, it's a good one. All right, we got some big names so far in this side topic here. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde's a big one. Elvis Priscilla's a big one. Jay-Z, Beyonce. All right, so T sides with Hugh Douglas
I'm
here.
I'm disappointed in you, Joe.
What did I do?
You let him get away with that.
What, on the Tampa game?
He's right. The whole damn thing.
I mean, what am I supposed to say? The Tampa game, they were bad.
Tell him he's wrong and he's a dope. Jesus.
Why is he always resort to personal
Hold on. How am I supposed to defend the Tampa debacle? They played bad day. That was their worst day.
Okay.
But they're allowed to have one.
You tell them that he picked the worst game of the defense at the beginning of the season. The offense hasn't been great all year.
Well, okay. You want this as the rebuttal?
Yeah.
They had two games, game 3 and 4, right, in New Orleans, in Tampa, without A.J., and then the Tampa games without A.J. and Devontae. One game the defense stood up and played great and carried them, the New Orleans game, and one game they didn't.
Yeah, they answered the bell after that.
I did point out that there's been like 3 or 4 scenarios end of game where the defense has stood up and finished the game, and the offense, they had a couple chances, but Jalen threw the pick in against Atlanta. I mean, I think anyone paying attention has realized this is a defensive team now.
Well, not T. And you let him get away with it.
I'll say this.
I let T off the hook. I'm sorry. I was trying to throw Hugh a bone because he's got nothing going right now.
If that New Orleans win.
What was T's answer again? Because now I got distracted.
Bonnie and Clyde.
If that New Orleans win, if New Orleans would have showed a little bit more life after that game, then I would have probably changed my take. But they laid down and they just now they got a coach out there clogging up toilets and telling everybody.
Rizzi
out there clogging up toilets, just telling everybody all this business.
Tony, the Sirianni thing is sweeping the NFL.
In terms of people like him.
Crazy people.
So you mean different. So maybe we go from, you know how everyone wanted a McVay clone? Shanahan clone?
We're going Sirianni. Yep, that's right.
So you come into your interview wearing a polo shirt and a shaved head, and you get the job?
Gone are the days of the Parcells and the Belichicks.
Okay.
In with the Sirianni's, man.
Yeah, a lot has changed over the last couple of years.
You will respect him.
There is a chance this happens. Like, if the title game is Lions-Eagles, right, and it's Dan Campbell and Sirianni, like, not really buttoned up, more emotional kind of guys.
CEOs.
They don't look like CEOs, but they get results.
They're biting ankles, and they're getting, results.
Results
getters. Motivators.
I think Coach Campbell is in that Coach Sirianni bang.
Well, he's a CEO motivator. He's not an offensive play caller. Yeah, I mean, I think there's maybe. I mean, look, if it were the NFL is like a copycat league, right? Like, so, like, if that's what's getting results, yeah, we'll see more of those. 215-592-9494. All right, so Hugh, you've said over and over today that you know because you're refusing to acknowledge how great this defense has played. You just living.
I'm kind of dying on this hill.
Yeah,
I'm dying on this hill.
I know we need to call paramedics.
I mean, but I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
I'm not sure you are, but. You have said, and you're right, that they haven't played many great offenses or great quarterbacks, right? That's about to change, though. Starting now, the schedule's about to flip forward. They play Jaden Daniels Thursday. They play Matthew Stafford after that. Then they play Lamar Jackson, right? So the tests are about to come here, including this first one, Thursday night against the Commanders. Look, I think we all realized about 6 or 7 weeks ago, Jaden Daniels might be different, and he might
Bonafide.
Be for real, right?
Yeah.
I think it was that... The Monday night game they had in Cincinnati where he went in a shootout and he beat Joe Burrow, and I was like, whoa, they've got some down there. And that was impressive. But when I heard this morning, it put it in different context. Jaws this morning with DeCameron Ritchie talking about how impressed he's been with Jaden Daniels. Listen to the category he puts him in.
I don't want to overblow what I'm going to say, but I will. He's the best rookie quarterback I have ever seen. I've been around a long time. The guy has been absolutely phenomenal. There's, his calmness, his ability to throw the ball deep, short, his anticipation. I watch his feet. He's very calm in the pocket. And he's a guy that kind of plays with a smile on his face. He's enjoying playing football.
That is a big statement, Hugh, from Jaws. The best rookie quarterback he's ever seen.
I don't think that statement is too far-fetched, and this is why. Because when you think about most rookie quarterbacks that come into the league, a lot of them don't have a lot of success early on. I think about the ones that are immediately come to mind. C.J. Stroud has some success.
Andrew Luck.
RG3. And the stat that got me was this, is when I think Ray Diddy said that his fourth quarters are better than his first quarters. And that's when, you know, you tend to get a book on a young quarterback. But for him to have his, I think it was his passer rating is higher in the fourth quarter than it is in the fourth quarter than it is in the first quarter. I thought that was pretty impressive. And the fact that, you know, that team has rallied around him. He's a leader. Like the most important asset or attribute that I feel that you have to have as a quarterback, you have to be able to be a leader of men. And we've seen, not to throw shade at anybody, but we saw what Chris Sims, when he was in the huddle, how he did not, like certain guys don't command that. And he does. And he's playing well right now. That's why I say, and then, you know, on top of that, when you talk about that game that they just had against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he went toe-to-toe with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like Russell Wilson, I think it's safe to say that he will be a Hall of Fame quarterback. So there's something to say about that. That moment wasn't too big for him. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough test for the Eagles.
You're right. I mean, the majority of rookie quarterbacks don't get off to great starts, right? It's hard to come in the league and play well. But you're right. Stroud last year had one of the great rookie quarterback seasons ever. Luck, RG3, got hurt at the end of it. Dak Prescott had a pretty darn good rookie year when they were the number one seed.
You say Cam?
Cam Newton threw for 4,000 yards, and Big Ben, right, back in 04 when they made the title game.
Because I'd probably take Cam's rookie season over Daniels right now.
But here, so I probably would too, though I don't think they were very good, though.
No, the Panthers weren't.
Yeah, but he was statistically.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Washington also might be frauds.
But they have 7 wins already. I mean, how?
Yeah, against no winning record.
I got you, but they're probably going to get.
They're the same boat we're in.
Yeah.
No. I mean, and that's just the NFL. No, I'm just saying against, like, teams that, you know, when you look at their record, they don't have a whole lot of teams that are over 500 that they played against. That's all I'm
saying. Okay, sure.
What struck me, though, is with the names we just said, Stroud, Luck, RG3, the injury changed everything. Dak, Big Ben, Cam. What's the theme with those guys? They all had really good careers, right? Like, if Jaws' assessment is right, that means we got a quarterback in this division that's probably on the path to something good for a while.
Or, yeah, they're going to be
Cam
a problem.
But Cam won MVP.
I know,
Super Bowl.
But he fizzled out a little quicker than
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure this lasts for 10 years for Jaden Daniels, but he's obviously good right now and probably will be for a while. Let's go to the phone lines. We got David in Westchester. Hey, David.
Hey, Joe, congratulations. Say you're 50% right. I'm proud of you. You keep up the good work.
Well, it's 50% more than usual, hey, David. No, what are you thinking?
That's better than...
Let me ask you this. When you were a defensive player in the NFL, did your career matter? Like, did your play matter when you were out there and making plays?
Could you elaborate a little bit more what you're trying to say?
What did you have, like 5 sacks in your career? When you got one of those sacks, Did that change the course of the game? Did it happen to?
It all depends. Well, it all depends. Like I think that, and I was told that they carry more weight towards the latter part of the game. Bill Parcells used to always say anybody can get a sack in the first quarter. They matter when in the third and fourth quarter when the game's on the line when you need them.
So it did matter.
Yeah,
it was a necessity, I would say.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Oh, that's what y'all trying to get at?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So here's where you're missing the point with this defense doesn't matter.
Never said defense didn't matter.
Because football is
luxury necessity. Two different things.
It's a team sport. So it's two halves playing as one.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have both halves playing well. Right now you have both halves playing well.
Yes.
So, you know, that's why Joe's only 50% right, because it's a defense and offensive collaboration. It's both sides coming together to play as one. It's one big love fest, and that's what you need to have a winning team in the NFL. And you need to stop with this this hatred of the defense. I don't know if it's because you have a 53 out there who has. He's outplaying what you did.
Wow, I think you may have stumbled onto something here.
Yeah,
Zach Bond? No, we joked about this at training camp. Would Zach Bond become the 53 in Eagles history?
Zach Bond is playing well.
All
Zach
pro.
Bond
he's,
is
playing,
a beast.
He's playing extremely well.
Is he going to match you in all pros in a midnight green?
And I think that
1-1.
See, this is where David. I think you need to get out your feelings just a little bit, because the luxury and necessity thing, it's not like I'm disrespecting the defense. But what I'm saying is this. They're playing well. But they don't – to me, they're not the Baltimore Ravens that won the Super Bowl. They're not a team that goes out there
not.
And they lay their hammers out there on the field and they they change the course of the game against anybody. They're playing well right now.
But also the offense isn't the greatest show on turf. They have issues, and the defense has carried them.
This offense has underachieved. For everything that we've talked about, this offense is underachieved.
You're 10 weeks in. This is who they are.
Okay. Let's do this, David. Let's talk about financially. Let's talk about finances for a minute. And when you allocate the resources on one side of the ball as opposed to the other, when we're going into this season, would you say it's fair to assume that the resources that we allocated towards the offense made it feel like the offense was going to be the focal point of this team?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, okay, I think we all agree with that.
Okay, with that being said, the defensive side of the ball, we went out and got a linebacker that was, no disrespect to him, but was a special teams player. And we put him in a position that we felt he could probably play.
And he's done it.
And he's overachieved. So basically, in essence, we've gotten more bang for our buck, right?
On the defensive side.
On the defensive side.
I think we'd all agree with that.
So what I'm saying is the luxury is the offense. The defense is not the necessity because they've proven that by the way that they built this football team. You like how I did that?
Well, hold on. But
I'd spit that thing right back at you.
Yeah, but wait a second. I could spend I could spend $20,000 on a new roof. I could spend $100,000 on a car. What's more important? What's the necessity?
What kind of car are we talking about?
Whatever. I mean, one that costs more than my roof.
Talking about Benz?
Whatever. You could use your imagination.
Are we talking about the Tumbler?
The necessity on this team is the roof. Last year we had no roof. The roof blew off, and we tried to win football games.
I will say this, though, Dave. The defense is playing well. They're playing well.
They're playing like a necessity.
And this week will be the biggest test that they faced all season long.
I agree.
Who cares about what we spent? What is it?
And
also, we're missing, just because we spent that money doesn't mean that we're getting the most out of it. We paid a lot of money for Bryce Huff, who sucks.
Let me put this in perspective.
Hold on, before you David, give us an answer for the top topic. What do you got?
Okay, since it's a sports show, let's go with the sports couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio.
It's a good one. Very famous one. All right, David, good call. We'll get you the mix. All right, go ahead. Make your point here.
So, it's like, you know, I've been doing this soap thing, right?
Oh, no.
Been trying to make soap, and like the soap melters. Anybody out there that can help with this, I need some help because it's not human error. It's not user error.
I think it is. Okay.
But the melters that I've gotten, the cheaper ones don't work as good. And in my case, even the more expensive ones don't work as good.
That points to user error.
But the point that I'm making is this. When I bought the more expensive soap maker, the expectations were higher, correct?
Yeah.
And I'm looking for the cheaper one that exceeds the expectations that I put forth on it. So that's kind of what Zach Bond.
But you need soap either way. Like that's the necessity is the soap, so you don't smell bad.
No, it's the soap melter. That's the necessity.
I just think we're putting too much into the expectation. Like let's talk about what it is. If I bought two steaks, one of them's $60, one of them's $20, and the $60 one's burnt to crap. And it's leather, then no, it's not. I didn't cook it, first of all. But my expectation was that the $60 steak is supposed to be better. But the reality is it's not. So we can live in preseason expectations all we want. The point is that those expectations were wrong. The offense is underachieving. The defense is overachieving. The defense is better than this offense right now,
I think,
no matter what we spend on either side.
I think we're missing this reality because we're all – and look, this is not a knock on Saquon. He has played wonderfully here. The Eagles last year ranked around 7th or 8th in points per game.
Mm-hmm.
This year they rank 7th or 8th in points per game. They're right in that range. Their offense is – they score a lot of points. They scored a lot of points last year. They scored a lot of points the year before that. The difference is the defense.
Defense is playing better.
That's what's changed the most from year over year. Like, yeah, they have a different running back, sure. And it's a different offensive play caller. Oh, that's true. But the difference in the team is they had a bad defense last year, and now they've got a good defense bordering on –
And they have benefited tremendously from the last couple of weeks of playing three teams that are one-dimensional in their attack when they attack this team. Nobody can run the football. That you can't. We played the twin against Cincinnati.
Chase Brown couldn't run
the football. They've benefited from the fact that they've played three
teams. The Eagles are the reason they can't run.
Okay. I mean, that might be the case.
Didn't we hold Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase?
17?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying they can't run the ball. They're still looking for a running back in Cincinnati.
But, okay, we just watched Joe Burrow put up, what, 34 on Baltimore?
Yep.
Like, that is a good quarterback. You know it's
when
a good offense.
When you talk about playing division opponents outside of the ones that we played this week.
Oh, so now we're back to the division opponents.
No, wait, what about the two division opponents that we blew out?
It tends to skew a little bit different.
No, what about the Giants? We played division opponents.
See, everyone's bad. The Eagles defense beats up on
them. See, I'm not saying that, but I'm kind of saying it.
You are saying it.
I'm kind of saying it. Yeah. I'm kind of saying it. This is going to be.
You know, hold on for a second. I haven't done this. I haven't done this because you guys did a lot for a lot of years. But Hugh, if I go back and look through those box scores,
we played tomato cans.
Wait a second.
Right?
Hold on. If we're you want it? What do we keep it, a bean or a buck?
We keep it a bean. We keep it in the war.
If I go back through the 2000 through 2002 Eagles, the height of Hugh Douglas's Eagles, I can find a lot of tomato can quarterbacks you beat up. You did. The division had Quincy Carter. The division had who were the Commanders quarterback? The old Mark Brunell. Like,
yeah.
So that's part
of it.
Was
that Tony Banks? Was it Tony Banks?
You can take it a step further. Yeah. And the Patriots dynasties in the early 2000s played in the AFC East.
And you know what?
That was
a point that I was going to use.
The Bills crap they had back then.
They beat the brakes out of those teams.
You know, someone told me once on this show, if they beat them.
If they're bad, beat them because they're bad.
But now it doesn't fit your narrative.
It don't fit my narrative.
It doesn't.
It changed. It's just the narrative has changed today. Tomorrow it'll be something different.
Maybe a little drum roll. Maybe the studio audience chimes in here. Hugh Douglas, second hour down. Are you ready to say that defense is a necessity?
Why you got to play that sad music?
Because we're saying goodbye to your take.
No, I'm going to go ahead. I'm gonna be dug in on this hill for a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit.
All those people came today.
No, and I'm looking at them on the text line. They're
mad at you.
They're mad at me for real. Yeah, y'all will be all right. You would just get in line. Everybody else mad at me. You'll be all right.
215.
You'll be all right.
592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, we'll get back to all this on the other side, but we may not be done making fun of the Cowboys. More fallout from them next.
What have I done to deserve this?
Oh, it's so good. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, and of course, we're looking for famous couples for the ultimate tailgate giveaway, brought to you by Jack Daniels and Gerhard's Appliances. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We talked yesterday about the detail, right? We talked yesterday about the physicality. We talked yesterday about the talent that we have. And we said, we want to do special shit. And to do special shit, we got to do it together. There was a moment in this game, right? All right, we came out 14-6 at half. All right, defense gets a stop. Special teams gets a big return. Offense punches in. That's complimentary football, right? Continue to find ways that we grow closer together. Because about that's how you do special shit, right? And we're all into special shit. A good teammate is selfless. A good teammate, all right, knows it takes everybody.
Potty mouth?
A good teammate, right, is there for each other in the good times and the bad, especially the bad, right? A good teammate trusts everybody, right? Because they built that trust up. And a good teammate doesn't blame. They take accountability, right? Keep coming closer together as a team. I feel it. I know y'all feel it. It's a great win, all right? But we're going to have to move on quick.
Starting to feel it, Hugh. 7-2, Sirianni post-game locker room speech.
You was fighting tomato cans, Rock. You were fighting tomato cans.
I don't give a
shit. Y'all making me sound like a hater, man. I'm not hating. I enjoy
you
what I'm seeing.
You are a hater, Hugh,
I'm
today,
not.
Man.
Actually, I think Mick Douglas, my favorite new Hugh. I like the Mick impersonation. That's a good one.
It is good.
You're fighting tomato cans.
It's kind of like the defense. The Eagles' offense
is
going
up
against.
They play well, man.
Well, this defense is playing great. They play great football. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say the Eagles are a defensive team? I am. Hugh is just, I don't know, holding out hope that the offense. I mean, at the end of the season, if the Eagles are ranked higher in defense than offense, you got some explaining to do, Mr.
Douglas. If they are, then I'm probably going to be shaving.
And we're probably going to New Orleans.
Probably going to be a shaved individual.
Yeah, we might be heading to New Orleans on that bus, getting ready to go
that'd
be fun, Super Bowl.
Though. I don't know how fun it's going to be riding with a bunch of people.
What are you talking about?
They're going to be callers, and it's going to be fine.
Eastbound and down, rolling up and trucking.
It's going to be fun, and it's going to be hot, so it'll be a little cooler because I don't have no facial hair.
We're going there off the back of this defense, Hugh.
Yeah, but I mean, I might not have no facial hair, but it's going to be fun. I'm going to make the most of it.
How many turnovers are we going to force in the title game against Jared Goff? A couple picks.
That'd be fun.
Cooper gets one.
In Detroit? You think it's going to be in Detroit?
Probably, yeah. If I had a guess, I would think it's going to be there. Kyle's not kind of ready to say that yet.
Bring him here, baby.
Well,
NFC runs through Philadelphia.
You want them out of that dome.
Jared Goff out of the dome. Jared Goff in the cold in January, that's a different Jared Goff. That's the way to get to January with this defense playing the way it is. All right, 215-592-9494. It's Combo Con here, playing for an incredible grand prize. We're looking for today famous couples. That'll get you in the mix for today's qualifying prize and the grand prize. Let's go back to the phone lines here. In a few minutes, we got to hear what Jaws said this morning about the quarterback and the opponent that's coming in here Thursday down in Washington. T is in North Philly. Hey, T.
T.
What's good with y'all?
What's up,
T?
How you doing?
Now I just want to get on here and talk some sports. You feel me? I got to side with you on this one.
Oh.
Go ahead, T. What are you thinking?
The reason why I got to side with you on this one is specifically because the offense is underachieving does not make this a defensive thing. You know, the reality of it is we put money on that side of the ball for a reason. You know what I'm saying? We need AJ to go out there and get it done. If AJ isn't on the field, the team looks horrendous on offense. You know what I'm saying? It's not as efficient. You know what I'm saying? So that right there should show you that offense is a luxury because you can't plug any Xavier Legettes or Jalen McMillan's, and it's not like we was going to get neighbors, you know what I'm saying? It's very few rookies that can make an impact on the offensive side of the ball, you know what I'm saying? So you need your more proven pieces, making the assets that we have on offense this and offensive team. Now, what, you know, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean is doing on defense is amazing. You know, I'm not going to take that away from them, and they're definitely carrying the load right now. But when they get to the playoffs and we're seeing teams like Detroit or
we're going to go blow for blow. We're going blow for blow.
Let's also use when we played the Buccaneers, we didn't have an offense. We lost that game. Where was the defense at then? We needed the defense. We needed the defense more than ever in that Buccaneers game. We didn't have no offense. We missed all the offensive pieces. We didn't win. And then the Buccaneers game showed you that this is an offensive game. You can have whatever you want to have on the defense, but if you ain't got the offense to put the defense in a position where the other team got to the ball, I don't really think it's that as effective.
Well, it goes both ways, and you're right. That was the worst day, T, I would say, for the defense all year. That Tampa game, they really
and that was when Cooper DeJean was not there on the field.
Yeah, that was
yet.
You're right. Yeah. That was the last game before Cooper. All right, T, what do you got for us? Give me some famous couple.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde, T, it's a good one. All right, we got some big names so far in this side topic here. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde's a big one. Elvis Presley's a big one. Jay-Z, Beyonce. All right, so T sides with Hugh Douglas
I'm
here.
I'm disappointed in you, Joe.
Why? What did I do?
You let him get away with that.
What, on the Tampa game?
He's right. The whole damn thing.
Well, I mean, what am I supposed to say? The Tampa game, they were bad.
Tell him he's wrong and he's a dope. Jesus.
Why is he always resort to personal
Hold on. How am I supposed to defend the Tampa debacle? They played bad that day. That was their worst day.
Okay.
But they're allowed to have one.
Yeah, you tell them
that he picked the worst game of the defense at the beginning of the season. The offense hasn't been great all year.
Well, okay. You want this as the rebuttal?
Yeah.
They had two games, game 3 and 4, right, in New Orleans, in Tampa, without AJ, and then the Tampa games without AJ and Devontae. One game the defense stood up and played great and carried them, the New Orleans game, and one game they didn't.
Yeah, so they answered the bell after that one.
Yeah, I mean, I did point out that there's been like 3 or 4 scenarios end of game where the defense has stood up and finished the game, and the offense, they had a couple chances, but Jalen threw the pick in against Atlanta. I mean, I think anyone paying attention to this realizes this is a defensive team now.
Well, not T. And you let him get away with it.
I'll say this.
I let T off the hook. I'm sorry. I was trying to throw Hugh a bone because he's got nothing going right now.
If that New Orleans win.
What was T's answer again? Because now I got distracted.
Bonnie and Clyde.
If that New Orleans win, if New Orleans would have showed a little bit more life after that game, then I would have probably changed my take. But they laid down and they just now they got a coach out there clogging up toilets and telling everybody.
Rizzi out there
clogging up toilets, just telling everybody all this business.
Tony, the Sirianni thing is sweeping the NFL.
In terms of people like him.
Crazy people.
So you mean different. So maybe we go from, you know how everyone wanted a McVay clone? McVay-Shanahan clone?
We're going Sirianni. Yep, that's right.
So you come into your interview wearing a polo shirt and a shaved head, and you get the job?
Gone are the days of the Parcells and the Belichicks.
Okay.
In with the Sirianni's, man.
Yeah, a lot has changed over the last couple of years.
You will respect him.
There is a chance this happens. Like, if the title game is Lions-Eagles, right, and it's Dan Campbell and Sirianni, like, not really buttoned up, more emotional kind of guys.
CEOs.
They don't look like CEOs, but they get results.
They're biting ankles, and they're getting results.
Motivators.
I think Coach Campbell is in that Coach Sirianni bang.
Well, he's a CEO motivator. He's not an offensive play caller. Yeah. I mean, look, if it were the NFL is like a copycat league, right? Like, so like if that's what's getting results, yeah, we'll see more of those. 215-592-9494. All right. So Hugh, you've said over and over today that because you're refusing to acknowledge how great this defense has played. You just, living in.
Yeah, I'm kind of down on this hill.
Yeah,
I'm down on this hill.
I know. We need to call paramedics.
I mean, but I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
I'm not sure you are, but you have said, and you're right, that they haven't played many great offenses or great quarterbacks, right? That's about to change, though. Starting now, the schedule's about to flip forward. They play Jaden Daniels Thursday. They play Matthew Stafford after that. Then they play Lamar Jackson, right? So the tests are about to come here, including this first one, Thursday night against the Commanders. Look, I think we all realized about 6 or 7 weeks ago, Jaden Daniels might be different, and he might
Bonafide.
Be for real, right?
Yeah.
I think it was that... The Monday night game they had in Cincinnati where he went in a shootout and he beat Joe Burrow, and I was like, whoa, they've got something down there. And that was impressive. But when I heard this morning, it put it in different context. Jaws this morning with DeCameron Ritchie talking about how impressed he's been with Jaden Daniels. Listen to the category he puts him in.
I don't want to overblow what I'm going to say, but I will. He's the best rookie quarterback I have ever seen. I've been around a long time. The guy has been absolutely phenomenal. There's his calmness, his ability to throw the ball deep, short, his anticipation. I watch his feet. He's very calm in the pocket. And he's a guy that kind of plays with a smile on his face. He's enjoying playing football.
That is a big statement, Hugh, from Jaws. The best rookie quarterback he's ever seen.
I don't think that statement is too far-fetched. And this is why. Because when you think about most rookie quarterbacks that come into the league, a lot of them don't have a lot of success early on. I think about the ones that are immediately come to mind. C.J. Stroud has some success.
Andrew Luck. RG3.
And the stat that got me was this, is when I think Ray Diddy said that his fourth quarters are better than his first quarters. And that's when, you know, you tend to get a book on a young quarterback. But for him to have his, I think it was his passer rating is higher in the fourth quarter than it is in the fourth quarter than it is in the first quarter. I thought that was pretty impressive. And the fact that, you know, that team has rallied around him. He's a leader. Like the most important asset or attribute that I feel that you have to have as a quarterback, you have to be able to be a leader of men. And we've seen, not to throw shade at anybody, but we saw what Fields, Chris Sims, when he was in the huddle, how he did not, like certain guys don't command that. And he does. And he's playing well right now. That's why I say, and then, you know, on top of that, when you talk about that game that they just had against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he went toe-to-toe with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like Russell Wilson, I think it's safe to say that he will be a Hall of Fame quarterback. So there's something to say about that. That moment wasn't too big for him. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough test for the Eagles.
You're right. I mean, the majority of rookie quarterbacks don't get off to great starts, right? It's hard to come in the league and play well. But you're right. Stroud last year had one of the great rookie quarterback seasons ever. Luck, RG3, got hurt at the end of it. Dak Prescott had a pretty darn good rookie year when they were the number one seed.
You say Cam?
Cam Newton threw for 4,000 yards, and Big Ben, right, back in 04 when they made the title game.
Because I'd probably take Cam's rookie season over Daniels right now.
But here, so I probably would too, though I don't think they were very good, though.
No, the Panthers weren't.
Yeah, but he was statistically.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Washington also might be frauds.
But they have 7 wins already. I mean, how?
Yeah, against no winning record.
I got you, but they're probably going to get
the same boat we're in.
Yeah.
No. I mean, and that's just the NFL. No, I'm just saying against like teams that, you know, when you look at their record, they don't have a whole lot of teams that are over 500 that they played against. That's all.
Okay, sure.
What struck me, though, is with the names we just said, Stroud, Luck, RG3, the injury changed everything. Dak, Big Ben, Cam. What's the theme with those guys? They all had really good careers, right? Like, if Jaws' assessment is right, that means we got a quarterback in this division that's probably on the path to something good for a while.
Or, yeah, they're going to be
Cam
a problem.
But Cam won MVP.
I know,
Super Bowl.
But he fizzled out a little quicker than
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure this lasts for 10 years for Jaden Daniels, but he's obviously good right now and probably will be for a while. Let's go to the phone lines. We got David in Westchester. Hey, David.
Hey, Joe. Congratulations. Say you're 50% right. I'm proud of you. You keep up the good work.
Well, it's 50% more than usual, hey, David. No, what are you thinking?
That's better than...
Let me ask you this. When you were a defensive player in the NFL, did your career matter? Like, did your play matter when you were out there and making plays?
Could you elaborate a little bit more what you're trying to say?
What did you have, like 5 sacks in your career? When you got one of those sacks, Did that change the course of the game? Did it happen to
It all depends. Well, it all depends. Like I think that, and I was told that they carry more weight towards the latter part of the game. Bill Parcells used to always say anybody can get a sack in the first quarter. They matter when in the third and fourth quarter when the game's on the line when you need them.
So it did matter.
Yeah,
it was a necessity, I would say.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Oh, that's what y'all trying to get at?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So Hugh, here's where you're missing the point with this defense doesn't matter.
Never said defense didn't matter.
Because football is
luxury necessity. Two different things.
It's a team sport. So it's two halves playing as one.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have both halves playing well. Right now you have both halves playing well.
Yes.
So, you know, that's why Joe's only 50% right, because it's a defense and offensive collaboration. It's both sides coming together to play as one. It's one big love fest, and that's what you need to have a winning team in the NFL. And you need to stop with this this hatred of the defense. I don't know if it's because you have a 53 out there who has – he's outplaying what you did.
Wow, I think you may have stumbled onto something here.
Yeah,
Zach Bond? No, we joked about this at training camp. Would Zach Bond become the 53 in Eagles history?
Zach Bond is playing well.
All
Zach
pro.
Bond
he's playing. He's playing extremely well.
Is he going to match you in all pros in a midnight green?
And I think that
1-1.
See, this is where David. I think you need to get out your feelings just a little bit, because the luxury and necessity thing, it's not like I'm disrespecting the defense. But what I'm saying is this. They're playing well. But they don't – to me, they're not the Baltimore Ravens that won the Super Bowl. They're not a team that goes out there and they lay their hammers out there on the field and they change the course of the game against anybody, they're playing well right now.
But also the offense isn't the greatest show on turf. They have issues, and this, the defense has carried them.
This offense has underachieved. For everything that we've talked about, this offense is
underachieved. You're 10 weeks in. This is who they are.
Let's do this, David. Let's talk about financially. Let's talk about finances for a minute. And when you allocate the resources on one side of the ball as opposed to the other, when we're going into this season, would you say it's fair to assume that the resources that we allocated towards the offense made it feel like the offense was going to be the focal point of this team?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, okay, I think we all agree with that.
Okay, with that being said, the defensive side of the ball, we went out and got a linebacker that was, no disrespect to him, but was a special teams player. And we put him in a position that we felt he could probably play.
And he's done it.
And he's overachieved. So basically, in essence, we've gotten more bang for our buck, right?
On the defensive side.
On the defensive side.
I think we'd all agree with that.
So what I'm saying is the luxury is the offense. The defense is not the necessity because they've proven that by the way that they built this football team.
I spit that thing right back at you. Yeah, but wait a second. I could spend I could spend $20,000 on a new roof. I could spend $100,000 on a car. What's more important? What's the necessity?
What kind of car are we talking about?
Whatever. I mean, one that costs more than my roof.
Talking about Benz?
Whatever. You could use your imagination.
The
necessity on this team is the roof. Last year we had no roof. The roof blew off, and we tried to win football games.
I will say this, though, Dave. The defense is playing well. They're playing well.
They're playing like a necessity.
And this week will be the biggest test that they faced all season long.
I agree.
Who cares about what we spent? What is it?
And what
also,
do you mean?
We're missing. Like, well, just because we spent that money doesn't mean that we're getting the most out of it. We paid a lot of money for Bryce Huff, who sucks.
Let me put this in perspective.
Bryce Huff.
Let me put this in perspective.
Hold on, before you David, give us an answer for the top topic. What do you got?
Okay, since it's a sports show, let's go with the sports couple, and it's going to be Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio.
It's a good one, very famous one. All right, David, good call. We'll get you the mix. All right, go ahead, make your point here.
So it's like, you know, I've been doing this soap thing, right?
Oh, no.
Been trying to make soap, and like the soap melters. Anybody out there that can help with this, I need some help because it's not human error. It's not user error.
I think it is. Okay.
But the melters that I've gotten, the cheaper ones don't work as good. And in my case, even the more expensive ones don't work as good.
That points to user error.
But the point that I'm making is this. When I bought the more expensive soap maker, the expectations were higher, correct?
Yeah.
I'm looking for the cheaper one that exceeds the expectations that I put forth on it. So that's kind of what Zach Bond.
But you need soap either way. Like that's the necessity is the soap so you don't smell bad.
No, it's the soap melter. That's the necessity.
I just think we're putting too much into the expectation. Like, let's talk about what it is. If I bought two steaks, one of them's $60, one of them's $20, and the $60 one's burnt to crap and it's leather, then no, it's not. I didn't cook it, first of all. My expectation was that the $60 steak is supposed to be better. But the reality is it's not. So we can live in preseason expectations all we want. The point is that those expectations were wrong. The offense is underachieving. The defense is overachieving. The defense is better than this offense right now.
I think
no matter what we spend on either side.
I think we're missing this reality because we're all and look, this is not a knock on Saquon. He has played wonderfully here. The Eagles last year ranked around 7th or 8th in points per game.
Mm-hmm.
This year they rank 7th or 8th in points per game. They're right in that range. Their offense is, they score a lot of points. They scored a lot of points last year. They scored a lot of points the year before that. The difference is the defense.
Defense is playing better.
That's what's changed the most from year over year. Like, yeah, they have a different running back, sure. And it's a different offensive play caller. Oh, that's true. But the difference in the team is they had a bad defense last year, and now they've got a good defense bordering on great.
And they have benefited tremendously from the last couple of weeks of playing three teams that are one-dimensional in their attack when they attack this team. Nobody can run the football. Who played the twin against Cincinnati?
Chase
Brown couldn't run the football. They've benefited from the fact that they've played three
Maybe
teams.
The Eagles are the reason they can't run.
Okay. I mean, that might be the case. That might be the case.
Didn't we hold Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase?
17?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying they can't run the ball. They're still looking for a running back in Cincinnati.
But, okay, we just watched Joe Burrow put up, what, 34 on Baltimore?
Yep.
Like, that is a good quarterback. You know it's
when
a good offense.
When you talk about playing division opponents outside of the ones that we played this week.
Oh, so now we're back to the division opponents.
No, what about the two division opponents that we blew out?
It tends to skew a little bit different.
No, what about the Giants? We played division opponents.
See, everyone's bad. The Eagles defense beats up on.
I'm not saying that, but I'm kind of saying it.
You are saying it.
I'm kind of saying it. Yeah. I'm kind of saying it. Hold on.
For a second. I haven't done this. Haven't done this because you guys did a lot for a lot of years. But Hugh, if I go back and look through those box scores,
we played tomato cans.
Wait a second.
Right?
Hold on. What do we keep it, a bean or a buck?
We keep it a bean. We keep it
even more. If I go back through the 2000 through 2002 Eagles, the height of Hugh Douglas's Eagles, I can find a lot of tomato can quarterbacks you beat up. You did. The division had Quincy Carter. The division had who were the Commanders quarterback? The old Mark Brunell. Like,
yeah.
So that's part
of it.
Was it
Tony Banks? Tony Banks?
You can take it a step further. Yeah. And the Patriots dynasties in the early 2000s played in the AFC East.
And you know what? Jay Fiedler.
That was a point that I was going to use.
The Bills crap they had back then.
They beat the brakes out of those teams.
You know, someone told me once on this show,
if they're bad, beat them because they're bad.
But now it doesn't fit your narrative.
It don't fit my narrative.
It doesn't.
It changed. It's just the narrative has changed today. Right. Tomorrow it'll be something different.
Maybe a little drum roll. Maybe the studio audience chimes in here. Hugh Douglas, second hour down. Are you ready to say that defense is a necessity?
Why you got to play that sad music?
Because we're saying goodbye to your take.
No, I'm going to go ahead. And I'm going to be dug in on this hill for a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit.
All those people came today.
No, and I'm
to
looking
watch
at
the
them
show.
On the text line. They're
mad at you.
They're mad at me for real.
Yeah,
y'all will be all right. You would just get in line. Everybody else mad at me. You'll be all right.
215.
You'll be all right.
592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, we'll get back to all this on the other side, but we may not be done making fun of the Cowboys. More fallout from them next.
What have I done to deserve this?
Oh, it's so good. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, and of course, we're looking for famous couples for the ultimate tailgate giveaway, brought to you by Jack Daniels and Gerhard's Appliances. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.